Today, we celebrate the fact that without these individuals, whether they have been active in our lives or not, that they are partly responsible for our very lives, our very existence. You know, when my son and daughter were very young, on Father's Day, they gave me a plaque, which to this day is up above my night table. And it said this: anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. And that rang true with me. They gave me a picture of themselves, and they gave me their handprints, all on this plaque. The picture was the three of us together. And that's special. 29 years ago, I was transformed from just a guy into a father. And my two great kids transformed me into a daddy. And then into a grandpa. Now, thank you, Jesus, for making us a family. Congratulations again to all daddies today on this Father's Day. And there is indeed a distinct difference between a father and a daddy. I have a special gift for everyone here today, and I'm going to ask our two ushers to please distribute this special gift. You see, life begins with a seed, and I want to give each one of you the seed that Jesus talks about in today's gospel. Now, I ask you to be careful, very fragile, and very small, and everybody can take one. Just open up the bag and let them take whatever they want out of it. These are mustard seeds. Everyone can get one. Now, be careful with it, okay? Because in 5 to 10 days, these little things will sprout up. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, this is such a small seed. Now, hang on to it. Don't worry. If you want, you can keep it if you want. If you want to get rid of it, those same ushers at the end of the sermon are going to come back with that little white bowl and collect them from you. But if you want to keep it, it's yours. Parting gifts, as they do on the game shows. As I was talking to Grant and Richard Ketchway this morning, the Lilfords, they said that they use mustard seeds all the time. As a matter of fact, they'll put them in and fry them until they pop, because they give us a flavor. We'll talk about that as well. We live in a world in which, and you've got to agree with me, the bigger the better, right? Whether it's cars or dinners or steak. On Father's Day, you're going to go for the 18-ounce, right? If you're going out to eat. Well, people are led to believe in this bigger is better society that a small church is insignificant. And what kind of role could they play in bringing forth God's kingdom? Well, just ask the people of GAFCON, who are meeting this week with a bunch of small churches and people from all over the world, of churches of every size who began like mustard seeds, some in storefronts, some in living rooms. It's amazing. The religious movement that Jesus initiated seemed so insignificant to those on the outside. There was nothing magnificent or grand about the kingdom that Jesus would bring about, starting with just 12 disciples. And what it represented. Christianity can be described as having had a small, obscure beginning. And even Jesus' teaching raised some eyebrows to some of the people. Think about this. Love your enemies? Turn the other cheek? How many times? 7 times? 70 times 7 times. Walk an extra mile? Receive by giving? Jesus' teachings were as revolutionary now as they were then. And in our today's increasingly secular society, they are looked down upon. Jesus is saying here that we should be comparing the smallness of the seed that you're holding to the greatness of the results that it produces. Shocking results come from small beginnings. Shocking results came from the small seed that you're holding that was expected to probably yield nothing. But Jesus said the mustard seed produced a plant, a tree, that became greater than all the herbs in all the gardens. So why a mustard seed? That's the seed that you're holding. And it's so tiny. But like you, it has unlimited potential. The society that we live in is not only a bigger is better, but it's also an instant society. We turn on the TV. We don't have to wait for it to warm up. Remember the days when you turn on the TV and you had to wait for it to warm up, the tubes to warm up so that the picture got there? There are many here in the church that don't know what I'm talking about. It had to be with the radio too. And even when you turned on your car radio, you had to wait for the tubes. Tubes? We have transistors today. Amazing. Well, we have canned food, we have bottled food, we have freeze-dried food, and we have packages of everything. But in Jesus' day, almost everybody had to have a garden. And in that garden, there was a very important seed that they planted, the mustard seed. And from it, it was, now listen to this, what that little seed that you're holding can do. It has corrective power in disease. It has potency against venoms. And it's quite hot. Just ask the Lilfords. When that thing pops in the pan, it gives off an aroma. And if you like Indian food, and apparently they like Indian food, that goes in there and explodes in their mouth, the flavor. It has quite a zing to it. Yeah, for such a small beginning, there's a greater potential than what's expected. One man and his disciples had become greater than all the herbs. Jesus plus 12, plus 70, plus 500, plus 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. That's a pretty good number. That's pretty impressive from such a small beginning. We see the gospel then being spread all over the world, even in the face of persecution. And don't think for a moment that there's not persecution against Christians in the world today. In some countries, it is illegal to have a Bible. In some countries, it's illegal to say the name Jesus. Thank God we live in a country that's free, where we can be able to say what we think, even if it's not popular. God used those original 12 men to start global evangelism. And you know what? He can use us too, if we're willing to become the seed with unlimited potential. I just used a word that many people become very, very, very uncomfortable with. It's the E word. Evangelism. Because when we say evangelism, the picture that you get in your mind is somebody standing on the street corner with a rolly Bible and thumping on it and saying, "The end is near, say hallelujah. God is coming to get you." And it scares the daylights out of you. Jesus doesn't want to scare anybody. You know, the image of somebody standing on a street corner and handing out tracts, Bible scripture tracts, and asking you the age-old question, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would end up? I believe that not every Christian is a gifted evangelist. And so why try to make somebody who's not a gifted evangelist to go out in against their comfort level and try to pound the pavement and tell people about something that they're not sure of? It starts with living a life that is questionable. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about people looking at you and saying, I don't believe her, or I don't believe him. I question who they are, but that's not the kind of questionable I'm talking about. I'm talking about living a life that people look at you and want to ask you questions. What do you have that makes you so happy? What do you have that makes you so sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? One name. One name, the name above all names. How are you demonstrating that faith in your life? You don't have to stand on a street corner, and you don't have to try to pump the E word into people's lives, doing something that's probably uncomfortable. If I were to ask you to raise your hands, don't worry, I'm not putting anybody on the spot, that if all of a sudden we said, St. Andrews is going out tomorrow to stand on the street corners at Ashley and on Ward Street, Peterson and Madison, those four corners, and we're going to hand out Bible tracts and we're going to try to get people. That's not how you fill heaven. It's not about filling the church. It's about filling heaven. You fill heaven by living a life that people want to look at and say, I want what they have. Jesus said, let your light so shine that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. The key word here is shine. Let his light shine in you so that others are going to see and say, wow. How often do we think of ourselves as being too small or too insignificant to make a difference? Now, on the outside, you may give off a great appearance and let people say, boy, he or she really has it together. But when you're in your own space, in your own shell, how good or bad do you feel about yourself? How comfortable are you with being you? There's a lot of people that have a difficulty with that. And if you know, there are people here today that I'm sure aren't 100% comfortable with who they are. God can take care of that. All you have to do is ask him. It may seem at first that we have no effect. But if we continue to live a life, a godly life, to sow the smallest of seeds and repeat that process faithfully in our lives, soon we see the effects of a small beginning, even being repeated as the results become larger. As I talked about earlier, with fathers, life comes from life. The vitality and growth of the body of Christ comes from sharing our faith with others and submitting to his lordship and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you talk to Jesus, you're talking to all three. You're talking to the Father, you're talking to the Son, and you're talking to the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. One of the first things to stir in us when we become members of the body of Christ or we come to Christ should be a desire to see others come along and come to Christ. Each member is its own mustard seed, a symbol of what you're holding in your hand right now. And all every believer has to do is to sow and then pray for the harvest. Let me make something really clear about that E word. There's not one person in this world who can save anyone. You can introduce them to Christ, but you can't save them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And I hate it when I hear people say, well, I saved four people today. What'd you do? Get them to pray a prayer, and now you're putting a notch on your gun belt? That doesn't save people. Being a Christian, a questionable Christian, is what saves people. It gets and touches hearts, and they want what you've got. That's what saves people, because you're doing that through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't heal yourself, but God can heal you of any infirmity that you have, any addiction that you have, any heartache that you have. Life comes from life. There's one true mission for the church, the Great Commission. I want you to hear these words from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. These are some of the last words that Jesus spoke before heading back from the Galilee to the Mount of Olives, where he ascended to the Father and gave us Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You'll be my witnesses, remember, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth, which means Coffee County and Douglas, and even Pearson and Atkinson County. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're not in it alone. He's just saying, live a good life. Let people ask. Be questionable. And I'll tell you what, if you want to know more about being a questionable Christian, come to Vacation Bible School. Monday through Friday, July 9th to the 13th. Our Vacation Bible School, as you see the sign on the back door, is called Shine. It's for all ages. We're going to have dinner from 6 to 6:30, And from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we're going to have lessons. We're going to have games for the kids. We're going to have some songs. We're going to glorify God. But we're also going to learn about how to surprise the world and shine for Christ. There's no test. There's no quiz. But I'll tell you what, if you listen and you do what Christ tells you, it doesn't have to be a quiz. Be a questionable Christian. Church began in Jesus and 12 disciples. Very small beginnings. And it has room for it in everyone who wants to, one, know Jesus, two, have a relationship with him, three, most of all, be willing to be transformed by him. How many times have you heard me say, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way? That's what's important to know. God can take the faith of a tiny seed, which our ushers are now going to come through and pick up. So ushers, if you would take your white tray, the white bowl, Henry, come and collect the seeds of people that want to give them up. If they don't want to give them up, you can keep them. But be careful what you do with it. Size of a mustard seed can grow into a large tree. Take the mustard seed of faith and watch the church grow. We're not talking about St. Andrews. We're talking about believers. The church that Jesus Christ created to do his work in faith. The small beginnings of a personal relationship with Jesus, our Savior. Jesus Christ, to have the faith and let him grow that relationship. For his grace is sufficient and his potential is unlimited. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a building, but is made up of believers who have sprouted, nourished by the Holy Spirit, and letting Christ's light shine in them while demonstrating Christ in their life. As questionable Christians, with unlimited potential. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.